Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
The title for today's message is I Was Made for This. And so the first thing I want you to understand about worship is God created you. He made you to be a worshiper. That's what you were made for. And so we're gonna look at that this morning a little bit. And the way I want to do that is I want us to ask ourselves a question. Who was the first worshiper? I think it's a really interesting question. I think you'll be interested by the answer as well. And the reason I want to ask this about the first is in Scripture, there's a rule in scriptural interpretation. It's called the law of first mentions. Let me give you a warning here. Geek warning, nerd warning. I'm going to go a little bit theological in the beginning of this, okay? If practical is more you, I'll catch you on the back end of this message and all week next week, all right? So, but let me just answer this because the law of first mentions is a biblical interpretation rule that says the very first time an idea is mentioned in Scripture, it's vitally important because it sets a pattern for the rest of the way that thing will be done in our lives and in Scripture. Does that make sense? So who is the first worshiper? And we'll get to your notes in a second. There, God works through some angels that he talks about in Scripture. And so the first worshiper was actually an angel. But let me give you a little bit extra. One of the angels that is interesting to me is Michael. And Michael is really the one who's assigned to oversee prayer in terms of God's kingdom. In Daniel, you see Michael wrestling with a spirit as a prayer is delayed. And so everywhere you see Michael is interacting with people in their prayer lives. And so Daniel was like, why is my praying being delayed? And it was being delayed because Michael and one of the fallen angels were in a war over Michael getting to his destination. Another angel that we see prominent in Scripture is Gabriel. And anytime you see Gabriel, probably remember him from the Christmas story in the New Testament, he is the one that brings a word to God's people. He's the one that brought the message to Mary that she would conceive. This third one actually is the very first worshiper. And the angel's name is Lucifer. Now, Lucifer, he has an issue and pride gets in the way. We're going to look at that in a minute. And he's actually fired and dispelled from his assignment. But Lucifer is the first worshiper. And it's important that you understand that. It's important you understand how he functioned so that you know a little bit about worship. But let me just point this out to you. These three components, prayer, the word, and worship, I believe, are the three most important components of a believer's life. I think they should be present in all of our worship services. They should be present in our spiritual growth patterns. So like, if you want to step up your spiritual growth game and become closer to God than you've ever been, I would give you this challenge. Do a 30-year time in prayer, a 30-year time in the word, and a 30-year time in worship. So for some of you, I'm going to give you a challenge starting today or tomorrow. Give God the 15 minutes. Start tomorrow and say, I'm going to give God the first 15 minutes of my day, and I'm going to separate it by, I'm going to do 5 minutes of prayer, I'm going to do 5 minutes in the word, and I'm going to do 5 minutes in worship. And it would be a great way to jumpstart your relationship with God and really kind of make it grow really, really well. So let me give you some verses because there's two places where we see Lucifer's demise, Isaiah and Ezekiel. And here's what it says in Isaiah. Speaking of Lucifer, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, this is what Lucifer said, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly. On the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So the first worshiper has an issue, and his issue is he wants to be exalted above God. I highlighted some of the places where it shows you the high points. And here's what Lucifer says. He's like, I want to be bigger than God. I want to be higher than God. I want to be more important than God. Here's the thing. He got to a place in his heart where something became more important than God. And here's what I want you to understand. We all worship something. Turn to your neighbor and tell him. Have a smile on your face when you do it. But turn to your neighbor and tell him, you worship something. Go ahead and tell him. We all worship something. Now, we kind of justify letting some things be higher than God because we say things like this, well, it's not really that big of a deal, or we don't really want to get like too radical and crazy about this. But can I tell you something? This really is a very, very big deal. It cost Lucifer his assignment in heaven forever. Like, he got booted out, y'all. We're gonna see that. Watch this verse. It says, your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your string to instruments. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, okay? But in Ezekiel's the next part. Speaking of Lucifer, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Like, Lucifer was an amazing creation that God created. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. And he tells us all these stones and these crystals and these precious gems that he was covered with. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. So I want to pause. I'm going to come back to this verse, okay? But let me tell you, your settings and mountings were made of gold. May not make a whole lot of sense. So let me read it to you from a different translation. It says this. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. That's this verse in a different translation. In other words, he had a part of his being, instruments, stringed instruments, piped instruments, percussion instruments. Those are really the three known forms of musical instruments to humanity. And when I was in fourth grade, I played a stringed instrument. It was I love music, but I'm terrible at it. Anybody in that category with me? Like, you love it, but you're terrible. You're like, you're on the make a joyful noise part and not like a good sound. Like, that's me. Everybody, let me just pause and say, everybody's called to worship. Everybody's supposed to sing. Everybody's not supposed to have a microphone when they do it. Come on, somebody, right? So I love music, and I was like infatuated with the idea of it. And so the very first chance I could get to play a musical instrument, like a legit musical instrument, I said, yeah, I want to do that. And so I chose the cello, a beautiful stringed instrument. And I was in the fourth grade, and I was taking that instrument to music class, and we were on the top floor of North Elementary. It's flattened now, it's gone, but that's where I was. And they had these old steps that had these grooves in them that were supposed to be for traction. And so I was carrying the cello without its case, and the cello has a kickstand. And the kickstand wasn't completely tightened, but I didn't know it. And so I took the first step, and the kickstand released and went out and got stuck in one of those grooves, and my cello turned into a pole vault just like that. And it catapulted me off that top step all the way to the bottom, and somehow the cello beat me to the bottom and it broke my fall. And I landed right on it. And when I landed on it, I snapped its neck right in half. Like, it broke right in half. That was the last day I ever played the cello. I thought it was like God's sign to say, Josh, you're not supposed to be doing this. Like, it's the cello's trying to kill you, dude. Like, back away from it. Like, so I quit playing it. This stringed instrument is one type. So a couple years later, I was allowed to choose a different instrument. And so I chose the saxophone, and I played that for a good while. I never played the third type of instrument, which is a percussion. I played a stringed instrument. I played a wind instrument, but I never played a percussion instrument. The interesting thing about Lucifer is, scholars tell us that in his being, who he was, he didn't just have an instrument, he was an instrument. Like, it was a part of his being. That's important. I want to come back to it. So let's go back to what happened. He's exalted himself. He's worshiping him above God. He thinks he's more important than God. He should be higher than God. And so here's what it says. On the day you were created, these things were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. Like, he was equipped especially by God for this assignment, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. We read that one. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. So that pride shows up. We're going to see it in a minute. And through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you before kings. So his pride and his arrogance catches up with him, and he's expelled from heaven. But here's what I want you to know. He's never loosened his grip on the role that he was given. And to this day, he wants to influence sounds and images to cause us to worship things that are not God. Like, that's his aim. That's what his goal, that's what he was created to do. Now he's doing it in perverted, distorted form. Whereas his original mandate was to point people to God. Now he's using the gifts that he's been given by God to point people away from God. Does that make sense, everybody? So he's still using that actively today. But here's what you need to understand. Jesus says it real succinctly. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I don't know why I think that's funny. I think it's because many believers have a misconception about this battle between God and Satan. They think it's this big, long, drawn out Lord of the Rings type 110,000 hour trilogy, when really it's in a millisecond long, the time that it took for God to overcome and throw out this usurper. Like, it's not a long, for those of us who you got stuck in your mind, well, there's this big tug of war between these equal opposite superpowers. No, nothing could be further from the truth. When God dealt with the enemy, boom, it happened in a millisecond, and it was over for Lucifer. It was over. It was over. So it didn't take a long time. But I want to ask this question. Since he got kicked out, who's the new worship leader? You can fill that in your notes, and I'm going to give you the answer. Who is it? Who's the new worship leader? If he got kicked out and thrown out, who's the one in charge, or who's the one responsible for worship? You ready for the answer? It's you. It's me. It's us. We are the ones. See, he didn't replace him with one individual. What happens is God creates an entire race called humanity to become the worshipers that express their heart of gratitude back to God. In fact, when you were made, you were made with all of the same instrumentation that Lucifer had at his disposal. Inside of our throats are these stringed instruments called vocal cords. And they were made so that you and I could worship God. Like you and I have these hands that we can put together. And some of us can keep a beat and hold rhythm, and you can get real fancy and use your feet and all that stuff. And you have built in the ability to be an instrument that makes sound in the form of percussion. We have lungs that generate oxygen, that take oxygen in so that we can make a sound. So not only are we created with the stringed instruments and the percussion instruments, but we have the wind instrument of our lungs to work in unison with who we are, because we were made for worship. That's what you were made for. That's what you were made for. See, so many people, they lose hope when they don't know what they're made for, but you can gain hope knowing God created you to be a worshiper. Somebody says, what in the world am I on earth to do? I can answer that question for you. You are here to worship the Most High God. That's what you're here for. That's what I'm here for. That's what we're here to do. I love helping people see what they were made for. That's a big part of our growth steps. People find their freedom and their liberty when they see what their gifts, talents, and abilities are and begin to serve. And it's an amazing sense of who God is comes into us when we understand how and why he made us. So you We're made for worship. This is our role. It's really good news. Let me look at a couple things here. Eugene Peterson said this: worship is the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves and attend to the presence of God. Have you ever noticed that life can be busy at times? Have you ever been preoccupied with anything in this life, or am I the only one? Like, we had four kids in diapers all at once. We were preoccupied a lot. And we had to have a strategy to bring our attention back to the presence of God. And I would say the busyness of life is a way that the enemy diverts our attention so that we begin to worship something other than the Most High. And we need to intentionally bring our minds back to who He is. And we can do that through worship. Watch this in Psalm 100. I love this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Now this goes on and says several different things, but I just want you to know that worship at times is loud and noisy. Thank you for the one sheepish amen that came from way back there someplace. Here's what I mean by preoccupation. We worship all kinds of things. One of the reasons why we want to do this 21 days at this season is because we just came out of a really busy season, and you're going to go into a busy season. There's going to be all kinds of things. You're going to go back to school. Some people are going to go back to school. You're going to get new routines. A thing in Ohio is going to start up called football. Buckeye football is about to start. And some of y'all in church, you have this idea that church is quiet. We're to be reserved. And you just say, well, that's just me. I'm just a calm person. Yeah. Until Saturday comes, when the Buckeyes take the field and some of y'all, or the Wolverines or whomever you cheer for, you guys, many of us will lose our ever loving mind over college football. And we're the same people who, when we get in church, we say, oh, well, I'm just quiet. I'm just reserved. No, you aren't. You liar. You're crazy. You're just not used to it. And that idea, you're like, well, this is what we've always seen, and this is how we've always done it. So my son starts at the Ohio State University in the fall, and he was given a chance to buy season tickets. And since I have a student, I was also given a chance to buy season tickets, but not at the student rate. I will let you know that. And so I said, okay, I want I've never had my own set of Big Ten home season tickets until now. And the very first game that's home is against Rutgers, and it's on my actual birthday. And my dad got two tickets as well. So for the very first time in the history of the world, all four Penningtons are going to be inside the horseshoe at the same time for a home game. And we are going to test the limits of the structural integrity of that stadium. Because I guarantee you this, when that band comes out of the tunnel, all four of us are going to go nuts. We're just going to go nuts. We're going to shout for joy, and we're not going to worship God. We're going to worship something else for a few minutes. But yet everything changes when we come in here. There's a reservedness. There's an awkwardness. There's an apprehension. There's a concern over, will I be out of order? Can I tell you something? No. When we come to God's house, He's asking us, because He made you with this ability to be an instrument to Him. He's saying, hey, when you come in, come with joy. Come with shouting. Come with excitement, because the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Somebody please say amen to that. So look, watch. Just so you know, I didn't make it up. It's He who made us. He made, in the same context of praise and worship, we are His. We are His people. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and its courts with praise. Like when we walk into church house, we are supposed to be jacked and excited, because this is the only moment that we have throughout the week together to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to make Him big in our eyes. The way we do this is through worship. It's through worship, because the Lord's good and His love endures endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Can I just tell you, though, that there is a generational battle over this idea of the musical element of everything about life, but especially worship. Like there's a tension between styles and genres and what I like versus what they like. And I love how the worship team does a good job of working all of those things in. But can I tell you something? That when we come together, we only have one shot at this for a few minutes each week. But you are not limited to what we do in here in form of worship. Like everywhere you go, you can make your own playlist. You can be your own worship leader. You can make up your own song set. You don't like ours? Fine. Just tolerate it and get through it. But when you get home, you better be worshiping to something that connects with your heart and makes you feel closer to God. Yeah. So watch this. Jesus says it this way. Yet a time is coming and now has come when true worshipers, how many of you, I'm going to tell you up front, I'm setting you up, but how many of you want to be considered a true worshiper? A third of you, all right. Wow, okay. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So I highlighted these two words, worship, because it's not really the Greek word, but they translated it the best they could. And I'm going to show you what that is. So this is where we get a little bit deep and geeky. But it's the Greek word proskuneo, and it's a verb. And here's what that word translation means, the worship. God, this true worshipers will worship, all right? Here's the word. Here's what it means. It means to kiss. So what God is saying is, I'm looking for true worshipers who will kiss me. Now, I don't know if you notice this or not, but it's really hard to kiss someone if you're not close to them, right? But before you get to this, it's not the type of romantic kiss between spouses. The Greek translators didn't really know what to do with it, and I'm kind of uncomfortable with this word a little bit, and I'm even more uncomfortable with where it comes from, but it makes a point. It's the word that's used when a dog greets his master with affection. That when he comes and he licks the hand of the master. Like that's the word. The word is the person that God is looking for is the one that will humble themselves and show affection to the one who loves them first. In your notes, here's the point that I want you to see. God made me to express love to him. That's what you were made for. To express a heart of love to God. Let me just be interactive with me for a minute. How many of you have, if you have animals, how many of you have a dog? Oh man, a lot of you. How many of you have a cat? How many of you have both? All right, okay. So we've had both. We currently have a cat. But we had a dog first, all right? And the dog loved me. It loved me. In fact, I often teased and joked and said that the dog loved me more than my family. Anybody ever felt that way? Because the dog would just, like when I came home, she would yap and she would come near me and she would have a good time. And she knew she belonged to me. That's a dog, right? A dog knows who their owner is. A cat, on the other hand, is confused and it thinks it owns you. It's a whole other story, but, right? Express love to him. I heard a comedian say this about dogs. It's just amazing how they can show affection and how they kind of are a picture of that. And I heard a comedian say it this way one time. If you ever wonder who loves you more, your dog or your spouse, lock them both in the trunk for an hour and see who's happy when you come back. It's funny. It's true too. Don't do that. Don't do that on the internet. Don't do that. Okay. Don't do that. That it's true though. God made us to express our love to him. That's what you were made for. Let me give you some more verses That's where you were made. And God said this, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with the seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. I want to make this point. I want to make this distinction. You were made for worship. And there's a difference between being created and being made. And this verse explains the difference. Creation is this, and let dry ground appear. Creation is the calling out of something from nothing. And that's what he does. Light be. There was nothing, and now there is something. That's creation, okay? But you were made for worship. And this explains it. Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it. Listen, he wanted there to be a relationship with that from which it was made. So if you think about the tree needs the ground. The ground was created. The tree was made in the ground. The tree is from the ground, sustained by the ground, and will eventually return to the ground when it dies. And if you take the tree out of the ground, what happens? It's no longer sustained. It dies. See, the same thing is true for us. Watch this verse. And then God said, let us make, not create, let us make mankind in our image. So it is from God that we were made. By God, we are sustained and we are created, or we're made to return back to him when this life is over. And just like the tree being apart from the soil that it can't be sustained, you without God in his presence, you and I, we cannot be sustained either. You with me? You with me? Like, this is what he created you for. He created you to forever be in a relationship with him. That's why you were made, right? Look at this. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Last week, I talked to you about that the enemy uses images and sounds. But God made you. He made me for this purpose, through worship, to reflect his image. That's what we're made for. We're made to reflect his image. And here's the truth. We reflect whatever we worship. Whatever you worship, that's what you reflect. So, in other words, if you're consumed in something, be it a business or child rearing or money or a hobby, or, and all those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. We just ought not love them more than we love God, because whatever we love most is what we worship. It's what we worship. And God created us to reflect back what we worship. And so when we're loving God and we're worshiping God, we can reflect him to the people around us. We should be reflecting him to the people around us. Our life is to be a living example of who Christ is and what Christ has done. So singing, music, is not the only form of worship. Our very lives are a form of worship, based on the decisions we make and the paths we choose. See, because what we worship, it really, really matters, y'all. Like, you might be thinking, man, you're kind of going overboard, aren't you? No. What we worship matters. What we worship matters. It absolutely does. Let me bring this in for a close, because we're out of time. Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. There's the word sound. Like the noises that we make, the noise that we hear, the things we take in through our eyes and our ears are affecting what we worship. Praise him with all of these different expressions. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Last verse. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I know you want the last blank, so let me give you the last blank, and I'll talk about it for a minute. God made me to release a sound. He made me to express love to him. He made me to reflect his image, and he made me to release a sound. Like that my words and my heart's expression through these vocal cords with this breath of these lungs, they matter. Like what we do matters. What we worship matters. And when we express this heart to him, it's how we sense his presence in our life. Let me just talk to you just for a minute. Part of my assignment is, as I said earlier, to lead us through seasons. And this is a season of preparation for us. And you don't need me to be the Holy Spirit to you. I'm just submitting this to you for you to think about, for you to draw your own conclusions, find your own path forward. But I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I satisfied with my worship life? Am I satisfied? Am I satisfied with my connection with God? If the answer is no, I'm going to ask you to be intentional about preparing your heart over these next 21 days and give yourself completely to it. Just say, okay, God, 21 days. Prayer, the word, and worship. I'm going to give myself to it every single day. Some people here, some people watching online, you'll be in the category and say, I've never done that. Awesome. Some be like, yeah, you know what? I've done that, and I know it changes things. I need to do that. I need to put that into place. I need to take a step. And I'm just inviting you into a spiritual journey with me. Because I'm taking this step too. On this idea of sound. There's all kinds of different styles and things. We have people from different church backgrounds who worship with us. And I'll ask people, you know, sometimes I'll ask them, what was the hardest thing for you in the beginning attending our church? And certain backgrounds have responded, and they've said, well, it was really hard for me with the rock concert on the beginning, like on the front end of the service, I didn't know what to do with the rock concert. They just released the sound differently. Like we know how to do it the way that we know how to do it. But some places it's just very different. And I'm not asking you to be just like what you're seeing. I'm asking you, are you reflecting his image? Are you releasing a sound? Because this is what you were created for. You were created to express love to God. Like some of you today, you can leave with an answer of, what in the world am I supposed to do with my life? This is it. There has to be more. No. This is enough. This is enough. And this is a start, and out of it, everything else will grow. Everything else will follow from there. You know what we do? We get the cart before the horse, and we ask God to fix all these external things in our life. I've met with people on different occasions, and their issues are all external. And the inference is, well, if God would just fix my boss, if God would just fix my spouse, if God would just fix the crazy political people on social media, if God would fix the drivers, and if God would, like all these things that are outside and the focus is wrong, because every time we get externally minded, we misunderstand how God works. See, because can I give you a secret? All that stuff isn't going to be fixed until Jesus comes back and fixes it. But what can happen is you can get fixed on the inside through your worship life, and all of those things, they don't bother you anymore. I mean, imagine living in a space and a life where all those external things that can't get their hooks in you, like where real transformation happens. What I'm asking you to consider is it possible over the next 21 days you can be so conscious of who God is and what you were made for that the things that used to get on your last nerve, you don't even realize are going on anymore because your eyes are fixed on someone much higher than all of those things. Like that's a real place where you can get. I don't know if that'll work. It'll work if you work it. You've been trying to fix all those outside things. Let me come alongside of you and help you fix it God's way. Because this is what you were made for. And when He is magnified, when He is attended to, here's what I've found, everything else in my life shrinks and goes away. Like, when I express my love to God and I worship God, I'm just an easier person to get along with. And so will you be. Someone says, well, there's nothing wrong with... I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes because I'm out of time. You were made for this. I was made for this. Some of you right here today are coming to the realization of what you were made for. And you've been searching, you've been wondering, you've been asking that question, what am I made for? There's not a person in this place who's done life perfectly. Couldn't. God knew that ahead of time and sent the only thing He had won of His Son to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, which is to take the sin and the shame that's attached to that sin upon Himself and be the punishment. Because sin must be paid for. And He took that punishment and He made that payment once and for all. For all of us. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seats. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. But with heads bowed and eyes closed real quick, just respect those who are maybe making a very personal decision. There's a moment and a time to go public with that. We call it water baptism. But right now, you say, Josh, I need to make a decision to be right with God. I don't know where I would spend eternity, but I want to know. And I don't want to spend it separated from God. I don't want my sin to separate me from Him. And I want to accept who He is and start a journey with Him because I know I was made for worship. I was made by Him. I'm sustained by Him. And I was made to return back to Him. And I want to accept that reality in my life today. With heads bowed and eyes closed. If that's you, you say, Josh, that's me. I want to make that decision to make Him first in my life. Maybe you've never done that before and you want to do that today. I'm going to ask you to slip up a hand right where you are. Or you might say, Josh, I've done that, but I need to do that again and I want to take this chance to do it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I see. Anybody else? Real quick. If you're online, there'll be people there to pray with you if you just let us know in the thread. Anybody else? I'm going to lead us all in a prayer in just a second. We're going to pray it together. Real quick. Anybody? Awesome. Thank you. Good for you. Would you all pray this prayer with me, with those who are maybe praying it for the very first time today? Say this out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Son. Thank You that He died for me. Thank You that He was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I turn from my sin and I turn to Your Son. And I will follow Him all the days of my life. It's in His name I pray. Amen. Would you all put your hands together for those who made a decision today? So awesome.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.